My name is Nguyen Kim Denham. When I was growing up in Vietnam, we are very poor because my father will go away long, long time, truck driver, sometime come home. And my mother barely making no food for us to eat, so we hungry lots of time. And for me to go to school, I have to be top three student to get free uniform for school.
Was the war going on?
Yes, the war was going on the whole time I grew up. I left Vietnam when I was 20 years old.
What was it like during wartime?
Because I grew up and raised that way, so I didn't know any different. I don't have any comparison, so that's just the way we live.
Well, was there, were there soldiers? Was there bombs? Was there, you know, what area did you live in?
I live in Rat Gia, which about 200 kilometers from Saigon. Our house burned down three times when I grew up. Grenade going off, they burn up the bridge. Soldiers come through the village and they die when the VC get them. But I didn't know any difference, so I didn't scare or anything. I thought that is the way we live.
Did you have a lot of siblings?
I have one brother, one older brother, 1 year older than I am, and my younger sister, she's 7 years younger.
And so at what point did you leave your family?
I leave my family when I was 16 because I didn't want to marry the Vietnamese. And in Vietnam, they were engaged for you to be married. And I told my mother I did not want to be married to a Vietnamese person. So she gave me money to run away because I didn't want to get married. So I left home and go to Saigon, which I've been picked up by Madam and sold me to put me in a prostitute hell. But I was so young and naive from the village, so I didn't know what they were going to do. I thought people were so nice to me.
Can you tell me again when you said you got picked up by a madam? How did that happen?
Well, because I was kind of sort of lost because I didn't know where I need to go. And the woman comes and said, if you're hungry, I'll buy you food. And then she said, you need somewhere to stay, you can come to my house. And I thought people in the city were so nice. I didn't know. And she take me to her house. She feed me and give me nice clothes. And I thought it was very nice. And then she said, now you can go into work to be a housekeeper for GI. You make good money. And I said, okay, because, you know, I need work. And she took me to my husband, that who I married for 25 years. And whatever.
At that time, you didn't know. So,
I didn't speak English, yeah. So I didn't know anything. So
actually, say that again. You didn't speak English, but you didn't know who it was. And
yeah, I didn't know. So they have a young boy that who speak English, talk to the GI that I was there. And they told me that I supposed to be a housekeeper for $20 a month. And that's okay by me, because I don't know any different. $20 lost money because I never see any currency. We're so poor. And so the evening come, I was mopping, scrubbing, and the house had four GI live there. So other GI had good friend who speak English. And they asked me why I'm mopping the floor, because I get paid the same. And I say, what do you mean get paid the same? And they said, because you're supposed to sleep with them. And I said, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for housekeeping. And so they talk over, the women and the GI talking about. And see, then let go of that. They didn't do anything. And he, soon later, my husband, put me a mattress on the side of his bed. I can sleep there. And he won't touch me because I'm just 16 years old. Puny little kid.
Were you actually married at that point?
No. I lived with him for 3 weeks. Then I get home sick. I want to go home. So when he get paid, he give me money to go home. When I go home to my village, my father throw me out because I'm shaming the family, run away. So he kicked me out. Then I go back to the city and I go back to the same house where I was before and ask if I can be housekeeping. And so I have somewhere to stay.
Who did you ask?
The lady living there with the other GI to talk English to other GIs so I can live there.
Did you ask your husband to be?
Yes, yeah.
And what did you call him at that time?
It's called GI. But I can't talk to him because I don't speak a word of English.
What did you think of him when you met him?
Nice. He very nice to me. He good to me. And I stayed there for 2-3 months and we finally do another thing. And then he have to leave Vietnam to come back, go back to America.
What do you mean you do doing your thing? I didn't
have sex.
Okay, so you want to say that again? No, you don't have to say have sex, but maybe did you grow closer to each other? I mean, did you fall in love with him, or what was that like?
I probably fall in love with him because I like him a lot. He's really nice to me. I don't have anybody that nice to me. And in Vietnam, you're not allowed to talk to man or touch man or anything. But I live in the same house with him, so I like him a lot.
How long was it before you became intimate?
Probably 3 weeks, maybe longer.
And what did people think of you?
Well, in Vietnam, if you live with a GI, then they think you're part of too cheap. But it didn't bother me because I didn't know any different. I didn't know any better. I just need somewhere to stay, food to eat, and play to live. So that's okay with me. I actually locked myself in the house for a long, long, long time, maybe 6 months, because I never come out because I afraid of people. And I afraid being lost because I never been in the city. And take me a long time, but I never go outside. I pray outside.
That's a hard life then. So did you continue being a housekeeper after?
Yeah, I do housekeeping, and so I have place to stay, and he gave me $20 a month.
So what happened when he was supposed to be shipped out?
When he was shipped out, I think my ward going to end because I pregnant. At 16, 17 years old. And we cry a lot, but we couldn't communicate because I can't talk to him. He can't talk to me, so we just cry. And then he leave me some money. I even cry harder because I think he did bind me out. But I can't tell him anything because I didn't speak English then even. So he left, and he sent me money. He sent me money so I can live. So I had a baby then. He came back 17 months later and married me and bring me to stake. But when he came back in 1970, he stayed 2 more years. Then we get married and come to Japan.
You know, I don't know how to say this, but he must have been a really good man.
He very good. He good. He don't want to abandon me with his daughter, with at the time.
Because you know a lot of men didn't do that.
I know. He sent me money for a long time. So my mother told me to marry to him because my daughter. And she said if he wouldn't have loved you, he wouldn't have come back here. He could have been killed, but he come for you. So go with him so you can raise your daughter and send her to school. But in the meantime, I'm pregnant again. Then I pregnant my son. Then my husband then married. We married. Then when we leave Vietnam, my son was 3 months old. Then my daughter was almost 3.
When did you actually get married, I guess? And what kind of, did you have a ceremony? What was it like?
No, we don't have any of those things. We did go into the courthouse and sign here. And I bring two of my friends for witness, and we sign, and that's all. We don't have a proper wedding or anything because we don't have any money. And I don't have any friend or anything I need to impress, so not something I want to do, so we didn't do it.
And what, did you get married before you had your, I guess it was after you had your baby, your first baby, right?
Yes, we married when my daughter almost 2. our daughter to be two. And then I pregnant again, my second, my son. And when we come here, he's 3 months old.
What did your family think of all this?
They never talked to me. They disown me altogether. They don't talk to me anymore because I'm shaming them to have a white husband.
Can you start again and just tell me what, and start with my family and what they thought?
My father disowned me because he never wanted to talk to me. I'm shaming him for marrying to a white man. And my mother kind of neutral. She loved me doesn't matter what. She talked to me, but my father had nothing to do with me.
They didn't even see your baby at all?
No, no. He did come when I had my son, because boy is important. So he came to for a visit and say goodbye, too, because I'm leaving the country when my son was 3 months old.
So that must have hurt.
I don't know my father very much because he leave home all the time, truck driving, so we're not really close. I'm close to my mother. I do everything for my mother.
So when did you leave?
1970.
Okay, so can you say I left in 1970, and where did you go to?
I leave Vietnam 1970 in October, and we come to Yokota, with near Tokyo, Japan. We lived there for 5 years because my husband in the Air Force.
My dad was in the Air Force too.
Yeah. And we stayed there for 5 years, and then we go into California, Edwards Air Force Base, for another 5 years.
Where's that at?
California, Mojave Desert, Lancaster.
That must have been a big change.
It big change every time, because when I live in Japan, I really have a hard time because I didn't speak the language, but I look like Japanese people. So when I'm out shopping, they talk to me in Japanese, and I really have a hard time because it's frustrating to me to not be able to communicate with them and not be able to tell them that I'm not one of them.
And then when you came to...
When I come to America, I have harder time, but by then I learn English. I'll become American citizen after 2 years when we live in Japan. When you married to a servant man, you don't have to live in America for 5 years. You can take a test. Then I try very hard because my passport expires in 2 years. If I don't pass citizenship, I would have to go back to Vietnam, which I didn't want to leave my kid, so...
Oh, you mean the military made you do that?
Mm-hmm. So...
What was it like, I guess, being a military bride?
I don't know what you compare with. So I don't know what it like. But
did they have a lot of rules, regulations?
Not to me, no. If they do, I wouldn't know because I didn't speak English.
So, okay, so you came to the United States, and where did you live? Was it just Fort Edward?
Yeah, Edward Air Force Bay, near Lancaster.
And what was life on the base like?
Very close neighborhood, and I do sewing at home, so I met lots of my neighbor. I do sewing for them, and I learned how to drive. I go to school with my kid, because I'm a grown-up, but I didn't speak English, so I go to school with my daughter, which is good.
How old was your daughter at the time?
At that time, 5.
So you were there in a classroom with 5-year-olds?
Yeah, yeah. So when they talk to all the kids, they would say Kimmy or Fawn, but when they talk to me, they have to say Miss Davis.
So were there other military brides on the base?
Once. But her husband in some kind of trouble, and they sent her back to Vietnam.
Oh, so you did have a Vietnamese friend then?
No, we're not really friends. I just met her, and then they sent her back to Vietnam, so we didn't really friend.
So were there any Vietnamese people that you could talk with or do anything with?
Not at that time, because that 1970, so not too many Vietnamese come out the country. So I have many American friends. But we couldn't communicate. We just kind of get together and smiles, and I'll talk my language, they talk their language. But food's the same language. We all eat a lot. And I like to cook, so I cook for them, and they love Vietnamese food. So
That always helps. What was it like for your kids, I guess, raising kids on the base?
Well, they're too young to know.
Did you try to do Vietnamese culture in the house?
I tried, but it didn't work because my daughter speak Vietnamese. That all she know when we leave Vietnam, but in 1 year time, she do all in English.
Does she know any Vietnamese now?
She still, yeah, she do. She comprehend some. She talk very little,
Yeah.
but she could. My son don't know any.
Did you have any, did your husband have any parents or family?
Yeah, he from Norman, Oklahoma.
My dad was from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Oh my
And
God.
I guess the family doesn't accept me as well, and so I have very hard time when we go for a visit.
Did you go to Oklahoma?
Yeah,
What was that
I
like?
did. The family kind of come and ask, "What do you think of America?" And I say, "Boy, it were so big, but it's had no rice." Because I were concerning about no rice to eat. And so we drove from California to Oklahoma, and I never see any rice paddy. So I thought, oh my God, I'd be so hungry because there's no rice here in America. At that time, I was so naive, I didn't even know that we were imported rice. So I thought, I'm gonna die here in America because no rice.
Were they very prejudiced against you?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Many time we go there, my husband go there for family reunion,
Oh, okay,
and
tell me again. My husband, but where? Go where?
my husband were and our family, my husband and I and my our two children going to Norman, Oklahoma for family reunion, his family, and when I get there, his family of sick brother and sister, no one invite me to their house. And at Christmas morning, when my mother-in-law, who give all the grandchildren $20, except our two, they get $5, and they cry, and they didn't know why grandma's only give them $5.
And did anybody ask why?
I asked why. I say, if you don't have enough money, we didn't come here for your money. Why you only give them $5? No answer. She did left the room.
How did she treat you?
Oh, when I was there in Vietnam culture, you're supposed to earn your mother-in-law love. So when I there, I buy her little stuffs and bedrobes and slippers and things, trying to earn her love. When I leave Oklahoma, she pack everything, put in my car, and say I don't need them. And the stuff that I send for her when I'm in Vietnam, I mail her some pictures and things like that. It's all in a shoebox and give it back to me. Because she don't want them. She said, I don't know all those people in the picture. And I say, that were your grandkid. She don't want them. And so the family had a family picture all over the table. None of our children was there. She don't want them there.
It still kind of hurts, doesn't it?
It's hurt. It can pin, yeah.
How does it make you feel to talk about it?
I'm still hurt today.
How did your kids, I guess, did they know this was going on? Did
Oh
they,
yeah, they hurt too when they talk about it.
are they close to grandma at all, or is she
No,
passed on?
she passed on, but never close because she don't accept them. Never did.
And it must have been hard for your husband, too.
Yeah, but he said, you married to me, not to them, so don't worry about what they think.
But you know, when you want to be accepted in this new country, new family, I don't think a lot of people know what that feels like.
Oh yeah, I want to be loved because I had no one here, and I want to be accepted. I try, but she didn't, never did. The whole family, all the brothers and sisters the same. They all just feel that Vietnamese people are bad people, and they feel at the time that I want to marry to my husband because I want freedom, but I didn't really love him. I just want to come to America. They assume that, but that's not true. I'd rather be home with my people. I'm homesick. I don't know the language. I don't like the weather. I'm very miserable. first 2 years, I'd rather die. I was so hurt and so lonesome. And back home, maybe we're poor, but we had love. And I got lots of helps and all that. And when I came here, I had no one, so...
Who helped you? Like, I mean, how did you go to the store? Do you need something to drink? You want to get something to drink? Go to the store. I mean, how'd you do normal everyday things?
I don't get out of the house because weather was so cold. I'm not used to the weather, so it's too cold for me. And I don't drive. So I have to wait till husband day off to take me shopping.
So you were pretty much stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, for a long time, for a long time. When I lived in Japan for 5 years, I totally take the bus or depend on all on my husband, which he have to work extra part-time job because with two kids, we didn't have enough money and I don't work. So but I do sewing. I make a little bit.
So so you're living here. You're miserable. What's like the lowest point that you remember? You said you were miserable for 2 years. So what was the like the low point?
Well, when I took a whole bottle of aspirin, I thought that I'll die, then I'll go home with my soul. I don't want to be here no more. And then die. And then my husband said he wanted to give me freedom. He wanted to give me happiness. And if he can't do that, I can go home. So he sent me home after 2 years. And when I go home, I wake up to reality. My people are not accepting me because I had two white kids. And they laughed and they sarcastic because they think that I go to America and I got kicked out and sent home. I'm not a good wife. I'm not a good woman. And my kind won't accept me anymore. Even my family think I'm go home and be a burden to them, that I'm going to eat their food, stay in their house. And I did don't feel accepted. And by then, I'll...
The car. Okay, I'm sorry about that. If you could start from that you weren't accepted.
The villa didn't accept me, and the family didn't accept me because they feel I come back with my kid and a big burden for them. They have to feed me. They have to help raise my kid. And they want no part of that. But the fear for me, then I wake up to reality and see freedom that I have here in America. And going home and bomb are going off, neighbor were burned down, GI get shots. And I get scared then because I had some compare and a taste of 2 year with no war. And I was so scared I couldn't stay. So I came back and be a good wife.
So you were there during right when the Vietnam War was still going on.
Yeah.
What year was that?
70. I left Vietnam 1970. I go back in 72, but war still going on then till 75. So I stay a whole month there in 72, and my kid get not accepted, and I worry for them because they're gonna chop the head off them because they're white kid. And we worried too much, and my mother worried too much, and so she said, leave, because no future for you here. We don't want you here. And she said, you have a chance to have freedom with people give their life to get, and they don't, and they die for it. And here you have a chance to have good home, good food, have freedom for your kid, they can go to school. And why you come back here? She said, I can give you love, but I can't save you. You dies here. So then I grow up and see reality. I'll die there if I stay, so I leave.
Mm. Was that the last time you saw your mom?
Yeah, then she passed away after that, so I don't get to see him. Oh, my father passed away too. I don't get to go home either because the war's still going on, and I become American citizen, so I'm not allowed to go there in a communist country.
Tell me about the last time, I guess, when you said goodbye to your mom.
My mother helped raise my daughter, so she want to keep my daughter. And my daughter don't want to go. She don't like Americans. She call her father's American man. She said, Grandma, I don't want to go with American men. I want to stay here with you. And my mother was so hurt and heartbroken. She loved my daughter. But she said, you go because, you know, you belong with your parents. You don't belong with me. And so I say goodbye to my mother, and that's the last time I seen her. Then when I go back in 72, I see her again. Then that's the last time, because she passed away after that. I didn't get to go home, or I didn't know about it because the mail would take so long to get here. She died 3-4 months before I get a letter from home.
You didn't know about it for 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, after she passed away, because the mail takes so long to get here.
You have a religion at all?
Yeah, I'm Buddhist.
And so, do you know Guanam? And
I get all those. Yeah.
So, how was your spirituality during this time? Did it help or?
Yeah. You have to pray your Buddhist. Everything I do, even up today, I'm still believing karma. You have to earn. You earn your good karma, and everything I do. I truly believe that. So I do lots of good things to earn my good karma so I can be healthy.
So you came back, and where did you come back to the U.S.?
1972. Then we live in Japan for another 3 years. Then we come to U.S., Edward Air Force Base in California in 75, and we lived there till 79. And my ex, retired from the Air Force. Then we moved to Oregon.
Okay, I'm confused. So from 1970 to 1972, you went to Edwards?
70 to 72, we live in Japan.
In Japan.
And then I go to Vietnam. Then I come back to Japan for 3 more years until 75.
And then you went to Edwards.
And then I went to Edwards from 75 to 79. And then he retired, so we moved to Oregon in 79.
And you move here?
Yes, and I stay here in Eugene all this time.
What brought him, or you guys?
He did don't like the desert. He want tree, and he want green, and he just, 5 year in California, he was so miserable, he just want to go to Oregon. And every year we take a month vacation and go to Oregon and just camp out. He loved that.
And what was it like to be Vietnamese here?
Bad.
Describe. Okay, so when we moved to Oregon, and you know,
well, when I'm in California, I have my own dress shop, and I love my shop. But because my husband wanted to move to Oregon, so I thought, well, home, where you make it. So I didn't mind to move to Oregon. So we moved here to Eugene. Then I couldn't get work. I'm more than qualified to get sewing job, but no one give me a job. I get to the point that I said, I call for the job, but I'm Vietnamese. Would that make any difference? Because I was so hurt that they not hiring me, they're not accepting me, and they don't like Asian. And so I couldn't get work for a long time. And I couldn't even do sewing at home because no one wanted to come to my house.
Were there any other Vietnamese?
Not at that time. I don't know anyone's here. And also, Miss Boy, I want to move back to California. But I'll stay. Then I get a job. I do making jean. I sew zipper for jean for 4.5 cents for a zipper. And I do,
hard work.
I do 400 or 500 zippers a day to make $22. And I was happy because that lots of money to me.
That's hard work.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you've been living here. I was just wondering, do you have Vietnamese friends now?
No.
You still don't?
No.
How come?
Because I live in Oak Ridge, no Vietnamese there.
Because there are Vietnamese here.
Yes, but because the lifestyle here, you're so busy, you know. And so I come to Eugene, I go straight to work. And when I get off work, I go back to Oak Ridge where I live. So.
Why do you live in Oak Ridge?
Because the house is cheap there. And my husband, now husband, own a house there. So I lived there.
Okay, so you got divorced at some point?
We get divorced in 92, after 25 years of marriage.
And why?
The kid will grow up, and we kind of grew apart. We didn't see together anymore. My ex-husband wanted to move to Belize, Central America, because he getting tired of U.S. and he want to go there. And I say, if I want to be poor and needy, I go to Vietnam. At least I talk the language. But I don't want to need to play. I love here in America. I love here in Eugene. I want to be here. And I said, I don't want to go. And he said, well, I go with or without you. And I was hurt so much that I said, then you go without me. So we get divorced and he go.
Have you ever been back to Vietnam?
I did in 1993 for a month. I took my two children, with my daughter now 37, my son 30, and my son 34. He'll be 35 this year. He born 1970. We go to where I used to grow up. I want to show them that, and we go there. But it's so sad to go there because you home, but you're not, because the family not there anymore. The house that my mother lived, it's still there. I get to go in and take pictures and so on, but no one know who I am because it's been 30 years since I leave Vietnam. So I don't know anyone there. And I visit a home, then I visit the gray. It's so sad. And I only stay for one day in my village because I don't know anyone there to stay any longer.
You didn't have any family at all?
No. They all moved, and they, I leave home so long, the younger generation don't know who I am, and the older don't remember, and most of them are die already.
The way you describe your life and, you know, being, it sounds like you're sort of like without a country.
Yeah, I feel belong here in America. I like it here. If I really poor when I old, I can go back to Vietnam and live with very little money. But I never have that thought or that dream or want to, because I be all along in my own home, my own country. So I like it here.
Do you tell people that, you know, I guess, what is your... What is the stereotype or the idea about a war bride or a military bride? What do most Americans think that is?
I think people don't understand not everyone married to GI is prostitute. But they all assume that neither work at the bars or prostitute. So they look like you cheap, you low. You're not equal, and I send that many times.
Do people assume that you're a prostitute?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They ask.
Have they ever said that?
If I were working good, they ask me.
Say that again.
If I were working good, and working mean prostitute, and I say, well, one time or another, somebody have to do something for a living. We do it. Because we have to, not because we like to, but whatever it takes to provide for the family, to get food for brother and sister, to get food for the parent, and Gua in Vietnam didn't worth anything anyway, so if we have to do that, then that's just a job, just like any other job that you do to survive.
Did your son or daughter ever ask you that?
I tell them.
How do you tell them?
I tell them...
Okay, I tell my kids.
I tell my kid that their father will bought me for $20. And sometimes they don't like that. That daddy kind of bad boy. But he good to me. We're married for 25 years. But when the kid grow up and move out, we just sort of grow apart. Then I feel I miss all my teenagers. Oh, my childhood, I never date, I never know anything but my husband. And so I just want to be alone. I just want to have my own self, do what I want to do, eat when I want to, sleep when I want to, without somebody tell me how to dress, how to eat, how to sleep. Because my husband, he's 8 years older than I am, so he tell me what to do all the time. And even though 20 years later, I'm kind of grow up, but he still treat me the same.
Now, is that your new husband or?
No, my ex-husband.
Well, tell me, how long were you, I guess, single?
5 years. I divorced and I be single for 5 years. But I enjoyed that because I can go and stay with brother and sister and works and do what I want to do, which I love that time.
Your brother and sister?
Yeah.
They're here?
They're here.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, my older brother, he had 9 kids, live in San Jose, California. My younger sister had 3 daughters, live in Dallas, Texas. And they came over 20 years.
And how did they come over?
I sponsor them.
Oh, describe that whole thing, because I didn't know that part.
Oh, in 1975, when we lost contact with my family for a long time, maybe 3 years. I thought they all dead. And one day I get a letter from my younger sister, and I was so happy. I cried. I couldn't even read. I couldn't even call my husband and tell him that I get a letter from my sister. And then we'd write back and forth for many years. So I have to go into embassy, U.S. embassy, to do sponsor paper, which entail you have to have so much money in the bank, and you guarantee that they're not going to come to America and raw welfare or getting any of the assistance. I have to be see through that they had job, they got helps, and so the Presbyterian Church, who my co-sponsor, to see through that they will get work without going to welfare.
And I guess that's that must have helped so much. To have your brother and sister here.
Oh, I was so loved because I ran a duplex next door for my brother and family to live. So we so enjoy. We have dinner every night. We go fishing. Then I take them sightseeing. I got so much to show them, and I really enjoy that. And because they never seen anything like what we have here in America. So everything I showed them, they so enjoyed and happy.
Was that like your happiest time?
My happier time, yeah, when my family come. And it's they come just before Thanksgiving. And so when we have Thanksgiving, that's a bigger Thanksgiving we ever have for me and my brother and sister. And they only live here 2 years in Oregon, and then they move on, so.
And how do you stay in touch?
We're talking on the phone a lot, and then I go visit, and they come visit. So we see 2-3 times a year, and we're talking on the phone every week.
And, I want to also get back to, I guess, do they know your story, too, that you were sold?
Yeah. We all talk about, they know. But that's nothing new to all, just normal story, no big deal. That's how it is. Right now, today in Vietnam, still is the same.
In what way?
The poor family will sell their daughter for money so the family can eat and go on, survive. So the girl feel I didn't worth anything. So if I can sacrifice to give my family the better lifestyle, I'll do it. And so it happened today.
Do you think that there are some military brides that were prostitutes?
Yes, probably. I would say half of the bride were prostitutes. Some of them were work on base. Some work at a hospital. And some got sold. But that is the fact of life there, so I don't think it's bad or good. That is the way we live.
So why is there so much shame then?
Shame to the family that not endorse those kind of thing, and they rather go hungry and have their daughter prostitute. So if you do it so your family can live good lifestyle, you don't tell them. You did say, I work at a post office, or I do scrubbing, mopping for rich people for money, work at a bookstore, little job like that. Make.
What do you want to tell women who, I guess, were prostitutes and got married? What do you want to tell those brides?
Oh, way better future. Just hang in there. Some never get out of it. Some never get better. They die from being sick. And
oh, no, what I'm talking about is women who got married, but maybe they were prostitutes, you know, but they're mm-hmm. in America now mm-hmm. and they're married, mm-hmm. but maybe feel some shame about it.
Well, those who feel shame never talk about. So they did make up story from good lifestyle or wherever they are, but deep down we know some of them.
Do you know any?
No. Not too many Vietnamese live here.
So so you were single for 5 years, and then what happened?
Then I met my now husband. He just won a companion to go on to New Zealand.
I went to New Zealand.
And so I thought, hey, that's the vacation dream. I could never afford to do it. I'll go. So we get to know each other. Then I date him for 2 years. Then we get married.
That's kind of weird. What? When did you go to New Zealand?
In 1992.
What'd you think?
Where'd you go? I'll go again.
Where'd you go?
New Zealand. Where were we? We go into both islands. We get in the Christchurch, and we go to what other island? Anyway, we take
did
both.
Did you go
islands.
To Queenstown? Did you?
Yeah.
Go? Okay.
Yeah, right. We ran a car and we traveled for 2 weeks. We did drives and stop, sleep, eat, and drive
it's
some more.
Huh?
Yeah.
So when did you get married, and why did he propose? What was that like?
Well, we dated for a long time, and I told him if he don't get married, I'll move on because I'm getting old and I need to get married. And so he said, he think about it. So I go into Texas to get out of the area because if he were not married, I'd have none here to stay in Eugene area. So I go into Dallas, Texas, and he'll fly there. And he said, if you fly back with me, I'll marry you. And so I fly back with him, and we fly into Idaho. We get married in Caldwell, Idaho. He's 72.
And how long have you been married?
7 years.
Okay. So it's going okay?
Yeah, it's going good.
Because you seem pretty happy to me.
Yeah, we're okay. Because we're too grown up now, you know.
let's see. I guess, you know, do you have anything you want to let people know about what, you know, I guess just anything you want to say about military brides? What do you want people to know about them? War brides.
War bride. Well, you're lucky to have someone love you and want to marry you and want to give you freedom. Be nice to them.
Whoa. I'm done. Okay, but what do you want America to know about just the war bride and that image of the war bride?
We're not all bad. We're not all prostitute. We women this in the poor country, and circumstantial thing happen, but we make the best, and we want to have a good life. We work. We take care of husband, take care of children. So we're human. We, you know, do what we know how to make a family happy. And doesn't matter where you're from, who you at, or what you do. My daughter. I'm in here.
Okay.
That you, Kitty? So just come in. Oh, they must go in the other door.
Oh, it's okay. You were saying some really good stuff, though. You remember what you were saying?
I was saying we are human, and we want to have a good life, good home, good wife, good mother. Sometimes things don't go our way, but we try, and go from there.
And I guess anything you want to say about, I guess, the children of military brides?
I think the children move around too much kind of hurt for them because they don't have any friends. So I don't have any friends because everyone I know in 2 or 3 years will move. So I kind of afraid to make friends because when I leave them, then it's so hurt. So I don't have any friend. I don't even have any friend today because I'm afraid to.
Why are you afraid to?
When you be close and be good friend, they'll move or you move. And I don't like that feeling. So I don't have any friend.
Okay, say that again. So I don't have any?
I don't have any friend because I'm afraid of getting close to them, then they'll move.
Even after all these years?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been here for 20 years.
I know. But like even right now when the Vietnamese people come, my actor to work at the Social Security office, and he know all the Vietnamese come to Eugene because they go in for Social Security card. And he came home with different phone number. And he volunteered me to volunteer to take them to doctors and shoppings and all that stuff. But now I work full-time. I can't do that. I don't do that anymore. But those who here, then I used to help them, they seem to go on with their lives and no one have time.
I just think it's sad that you can't have any friends.
Then where I live now, I'm so content with my lifestyle. I love my job. And I am an outdoor person, so every second chance I had, I take a ride in the mountains, or if fishing season, I'll fish, hunting season, I hunt. So I didn't really want to have time for a friend because I'd rather content with my outdoor activity.
And you must live in a beautiful place, too. I mean, is Oak Ridge nice?
Oak Ridge nice, quiet, everyone know everyone, so you better do good. They know.
A small town. Okay, is there anything you want to say? Anything that you haven't said or anything else you want to mention?
Well, America were land of opportunity. Women have a chance here to get good jobs, be somebody important, and earn respect, which we don't have that in Vietnam. You get make good money, too. I like that. And lives are equals here. We don't have to walk sick pace behind, and we don't have to keep our voice down. We can say what we think, do what we like, which I like.
And what has your contribution to America been?
I work all the years that I come to America, pay lots of taxes.